town, Chicago is.
The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference is coming to Chicago for its one and only 2019 conference. You can meet and hear Ross Douthat, Matt Harrison, Wesley Smith, Aaron Wolf, Hans Feeney, and Will Whedon Friday, June 7th and Saturday, June 8th at Concordia University, Chicago. Learn more and register at issuesetc.org. Chicago is.
Just defrocking the carrot doesn't end this story. They have got to find out how somebody who is known to be sexually corrupt continues to rise and rise and rise within the church.
What is different about that same child 5 minutes earlier, 5 days, 5 weeks, 5 months earlier? Give us this main point and we can unravel your position.
Luther brought Christian freedom, and the whole point of the Reformation is freedom in Christ. And we start hearing that word freedom like Americans, and we assume that means now we don't have to be told what to do.
Forgiveness, however, does not mean having no memory of past wrongs. But we ask our Father in heaven to free us from the anger and resentment that may accompany those memories.
Housewives, cleaning bathrooms, love issues, etc.
If you stop and think about it, and Black History Month is intended to be that period of the year where we stop and think about it. If you stop and think about it, how much has changed, and it has been a long road. The change has been a long time coming, but how quickly things have changed. In societies in most of human history, slavery was just a fact of life. No one even contemplated eliminating that institution. They would have laughed you straight in the face had you. The society was built on it. The economy was built on it. The whole structure was built upon it. And yet somehow, by God's providential grace in the United States, slavery was eradicated. And how quickly after that, these people who had been oppressed, truly oppressed, not oppressed in the 21st century social justice warrior kind of oppression, but truly oppressed as a people, began to show their mettle, their skill, their intelligence, and their capabilities. It's amazing how quickly that happened. So as we draw to the close of Black History Month, we're going to be talking about some achievements of Black American women. Glenn Stanton will be our guest. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. live on this Wednesday afternoon, February the 27th. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in. After our conversation with Glenn, Pastor Paul McCain joins us for our series on the Lutheran Confessions. We're in Luther's Small Catechism. We are drawing to a close on Luther's treatment of the Lord's Prayer with the final two petitions: lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Then Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson, Jesus Changes Water into Wine, in John chapter 2. Join us with questions or comments, or call in number 1-877-623-6943. Send us an email, talkback@issuesetc.org, a tweet at issuesetc, and the Issues Etc. listener comment line, 618-223-8382. Joining us to talk about some achievements of Black American women, Glenn Stanton, Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family, author of the books The Ring Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Meet Black American Women Who Smashed Stereotypes with Achievement. Glenn, welcome back.
Hey, thank you, Todd. Good to be with you.
Were you struck, as I was, at how quickly after the abolition of slavery, we're talking about 1863, if I'm not mistaken, with the Emancipation Proclamation, These Black women, these Black American women, began to a long road of lifetime achievements.
Yeah, well, no, that's exactly right. I mean, you know, to put it in colloquial terms, these girls got at it, you know, and it's interesting. I mean, this article, I talk about the first African-American woman to get a bachelor's degree, and then the first ones to get a PhD, and then the first medical degree and the first law degree. And the woman who got her first BA, she did in 1862. And what strikes me about these women is not just that they achieved it, but they were overachievers. I mean, they graduated with honors. They faced tremendous uphill battles to be able to just stay in school. And I mean, these women, I'll just say, I mean, they just rocked it, you know, and they're such a good role model, not just for the African-American community, but for young girls to say, you know what, these women did it, and they did it with all odds stacked against them. And you know what, I can do the same thing with the strength that they had.
Talk about the first Black American woman to earn a college degree.
Yeah, her name was Mary Jane Patterson. She was born in 1840. She was born of freed slave parents. So, I mean, you know, she came from that era. And Oberlin College, which was in Ohio, Oberlin, that area, became kind of a mecca for African-American culture. And so Oberlin College was the first school that intentionally and by policy included African-American students. So Mary Jane's parents, dad moved them there so that they could provide a better life for their daughters. And it's interesting that Mary Jane got her bachelor's degree from Oberlin, but so did her two sisters, you know, followed right behind her. So when I was writing this and doing the research, I was thinking, okay, what about her dad? What about her mom? I mean, they knew what they wanted for their kids, and they made it happen. It's interesting, Mary Jane, one of the professors at Oberlin, gave her a letter of reference for her first job out of school and said that she was a superior scholar, a good singer, and a faithful Christian and a genteel lady. With all of these women, you find, you know, their faith is significantly important to them. And that was a very cool thing to see as well.
So you had mentioned she taught, she eventually became a school principal. This is a woman who built upon that degree in service of our nation's young people.
Right. And this is another thing that I learned. And in Washington, D.C., there was this place, it was called Dunbar High School. And it's, I think the name has changed since then, but it was positively famous for an institution that Black high school students could go to. And it was, you know, maybe like a classical academy, you know, that we would have today, or a prep school, but it was where, very prestigious, and it was where Black students could go and really get a high quality education. And Dunbar High School keeps coming up again and again and again in each one of these women's stories, because many of them either went there or taught there, or they went back to teach there after they got their degrees.
There are other women who, Black women who are doing this at the same time. They didn't actually achieve the degrees, but they were trying to.
Right. And there were. And, you know, in many ways, you know, like Mary Jane, the first one to get her BA. I mean, there were a number of women that were kind of going along in school with her, and she just simply was the first one to do it. There's, you know, on a little historical side note, and, you know, a lot of times history is not as clean as we think that it is, but there was another woman, Lucy Ann Stanton. She has my last name. It'd be, who knows, if, you know, way, way back when there's a cross in, you know, my family and African-American families. But she was the first one to graduate from a four-year college, but the distinction was between a certificate and a diploma. Mary Jane, the first, she got a full-fledged diploma, whereas Lucy Ann, she just got a certificate. So there are, and she got it from Oberlin as well. So there are those, you know, little small kinds of things that, yeah, there's a lot of women running neck and neck here to try to be the first one. And the cool thing is the first African-American woman to earn a PhD, this happened in 1921, and there were three women that year who earned their PhDs. And what's kind of curious is the first woman to finish up her coursework was not the first woman to get her degree. Getting the degree, just kind of a will-o'-the-wisp kind of thing, depended on when your school had its graduation. So she finished her coursework first, but curiously, her graduation was later than the other two. So she was the last one to get her degree among these three women. But, I mean, think about that. Three women, one was from the University of Chicago, the other one from the University of Pennsylvania, and the other one from Radcliffe. I mean, you know, heavy-duty academic institutions, and three of them in 1 year, 1921. One was a philologist, you know, just the study of language. One was a literature graduate, and the other one studied law.
So tell us a little bit about Eva Beatrice Dykes, if I'm not mistaken, the one that got her PhD from Radcliffe.
Yes, just a remarkable overachiever. She earned two bachelor's degrees, summa cum laude from Howard University, which was, you know, one of the first historic black institutions, and then magna cum laude from Radcliffe College. So, you know, this woman, relatively young woman, she has two bachelor's degrees, and then the following year, or just a little bit later, she goes and, well, in between her bachelor's degree, she went and taught at Dunbar High School. And she was an award-winning teacher there for English. She went on to Howard University and taught. But she got her PhD from Radcliffe and, I mean, just did amazing. And the curious thing is, she wrote a regular column for the Seventh-day Adventist magazine, The Message, from 1934 until 2 years before her death, 1986. So she was a woman of great faith and determination.
Another product from the Dunbar High School teaching staff was Georgiana Simpson.
Yes. I mean, that place, I mean, you know, when you think about the individuals that even just that high school lifted up and, you know, and created new leaders. Georgiana Simpson, she began her graduate work while she was teaching during the day at Dunbar High School. And she's the one that got her degree in philology, the study of languages and written texts and things like that. And her concentration was in German. I mean, think about this. You know, she's a woman who, you know, her family's not that far off from the slave days. And, you know, she's a scholar in Germany. One of the interesting things, she was at the University of Chicago, and she first resided in the women's dormitories. But there were complaints from the white students there, and they asked her to leave. The director of the residence hall asked her to leave, you know, because she was, you know, just her presence there was problematic. And she refused. You know, she said, no, I go to school here, and I'm going to hang in there. Well, it got kicked up to the university president, and she finally acquiesced when he got involved and, you know, said that she had to move. But she didn't give up. She kept working away, not letting it get her down. And then after she graduated, she returned to Dunbar, primarily because no college would hire a woman, a black woman, to teach anything besides home economics and things like that. So, I mean, she's a full-fledged scholar in a scholarly field, but, you know, unfortunately, she couldn't work as a scholar and the scholar that she was because of, you know, again, the prejudice even in higher education at that time.
Sadie Moses Alexander actually went on to serve on President John F. Kennedy's Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights.
Yeah, she was extraordinarily accomplished as well. She was the second African-American woman to receive a PhD, and she did so in economics. And then she went on to go to law school as well, and she became the second woman to be admitted to the Pennsylvania Bar, and of course, the first African-American woman. So in Philadelphia, I mean, she was a heavy-duty player. So, you know, not only did she get her PhD, she got her law degree, and she was the first woman, white or black, to serve as secretary of the National Bar Association. And you're right, in 1963, she served on President John F. Kennedy's Lawyers Committee for Civil Rights. And she came from a very prestigious African-American artistic academic family in the Philadelphia area. She was the niece of one of my favorite painters, Henry Asawa Tanner, who grew up in Philadelphia. And he was really the first black painter in America to really develop international acclaim. And so, I mean, that's the other thing, is that these women, they came from good homes and homes that valued education. And so what that tells us is, you know, homes and the attitudes that we have for education and about education are the launching pads, you know, for our young people to go off and do well. And fortunately, these ladies came from good homes.
Who was the first African-American female to earn a medical degree?
Her name was Rebecca Crumpler. It's interesting that if you go in to, you know, the history, you'll see different names. Like, she was the first. No, she was the first. But when you start to read in more deeply, you see, no, you know, from some technicality or something, this woman was. So it's Rebecca Crumpler. She did so in 1864 from the Boston University School of Medicine. But there was another woman, Dr. Rebecca Cole, and many people believe that she was the first one, but she was just a little bit short of Rebecca Crumpler by about 3 years. But she was the more popular one. So she kind of got more attention with her career and things like that. And then another woman, Susan Smith McKinney Stewart, she got hers. She was the third to get her degree in 1870.
What about the first law degree, with about a minute and a half here, Glenn?
Yeah, the first law degree was Charlotte E. Ray, and she was a very interesting one. She earned her law degree from Howard University School of Law in 1872, and she was the first woman, black or white, admitted to the District of Columbia Bar, and the first woman of any race to argue a case before the Supreme Court of the District of Columbia. And she was like kind of a business and property lawyer, but her big case, the one that she argued before the Supreme Court of the District of Columbia, was a divorce case for a woman who had been abused by her husband, fellow African-American woman, and she argued her case that she should have the right to be able to be free from her husband and his abuse, and that was a big case.
Glenn Stanton is Director of Family Formation Studies for Focus on the Family. He's author of the books Three Makes All the Difference and Loving My LGBT Neighbor, and a recent column for The Federalist titled Meet the Black American Women Who Smash Stereotypes with Achievement. You can read it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Glenn, thanks.
Hey, you betcha. Thanks. Good to be with you.
Pastor Paul McCain will be with us on the other side of the break. We're going to be continuing our series on the Lutheran Confessions as we talk about Luther's Small Catechism, wrapping up his discussion of the Lord's Prayer with the last two petitions, "Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil."
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Memoria Press now offers 8 levels of the Simply Classical curriculum for children with special needs. These full-year packages help you teach reading, writing, arithmetic, art and music, poetry, science, history, Latin, classical and Christian studies in incremental and multisensory ways for mastery. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and enter promo code LPR9 to save on resources for your home or school.
Education and edification. You're listening to Issues Etc. Mark your calendars for the Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, at and to benefit Metro East Lutheran High School in Edwardsville. The Home and Garden Show is a fundraiser produced by a volunteer parents group with the support of regional businesses and partners. The Metro East Home and Garden Show has something for everyone, from the basement to the roof and everything in between, to lawn care and landscaping outside your home, from kettle corn and monster trucks to tractors and zero turns. Family-friendly activities from child fingerprinting and face painting to child and fire safety. Take advantage of pet adoption, electronics recycling, and shredding services on site Saturday only. And Fred Bird flies in on Sunday. Admission and parking are free, compliments of Element Turf. The Scott Credit Union Metro East Home and Garden Show, March 16th and 17th, is sponsored in part by Liberty Fence, Renown Remodeling, Seavers Equipment, and Woods Basement Systems. Show and exhibitor details can be found at mehds.org.